Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. You can now join us for live streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sundays. This week, Pastor Jordan brings us a sermon titled, The Sanctuary of Grace, from 1 Samuel 12, 19 through 25. Sanctuary is a place that we all seek out. Whether we're thinking of this literal sanctuary that we're in, or the little sanctuaries that we have built into our own lives. Maybe it's at your home, maybe it's with family, maybe it's with some good friends that you could be yourself around. We all have places that feel safe to us and feel comfortable. And not just safe and comfortable in contrite ways, but in very deep and meaningful ways that we can be fully us within those sanctuaries. All this month we've been talking about sanctuaries and what does it mean for the presence of God to be places. Because in the Old Testament, they built a temple because they needed a place where they could be in the presence of God and know they are in the presence of God. And what God knew all along, which we still need some kind of catching up to do, is that God is everywhere. The whole world is God's sanctuary, God's temple. So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel today. We're going to listen to the words of the people of Israel as they are growing frustrated with how they're living, that they feel like they need a king. And then the king doesn't work out all that well. But I'm going to have this video explain the whole book of Samuel, basically the first part, to you all so we can get a better picture and context for our scripture.
The books of 1 and 2 Samuel. They're two separate books in our modern Bibles, but that division is due simply to scroll length. It was originally written as one coherent story. We're just going to cover the book of 1 Samuel in this video. So after Israel was rescued from slavery in Egypt, they made a covenant with God at Mount Sinai and eventually came into the Promised Land. And there, Israel was supposed to be faithful to God and obey the covenant commands. Before the book of Samuel, Judges showed how Israel failed at that task big time. It was a period of moral chaos, and it showed Israel's need for wise, faithful leaders. The book of Samuel provides an answer to that need. The book of Samuel's story focuses on three main characters: the prophet Samuel, where the book gets its name, and then King Saul, and after that, King David. And all three of them transitioned Israel from a group of tribes ruled by judges into a unified kingdom ruled by King David in Jerusalem. And the book of Samuel has a fascinating design that weaves the story of these three characters together in four main parts. Samuel, he's the key leader and prophet in the first section of the book, but then he also plays a key role in the next section, which is Saul's story, and it's told in two movements: Saul's rise to power and then his failures, and the second part is about his downfall and his tragic death. And then the drama of Saul's demise is matched by David's exciting rise to power. And then David's story is told in two movements. First, he rides the wave of his success, followed by his own tragic failure and the slow self-destruction of his family and then his kingdom. The book concludes with an epilogue that reflects back over the whole story.
So the Israelites were a people that had God as their leader, as their king. But then they grew tired of not having a king, and they saw all the other nations had a king, and they said, "We want that." Samuel, a prophet, knew that this isn't what God wanted for them, but he went to God and God said, "Go ahead, give them what they want." They'd already been through, in the Old Testament, they're going through these processes between judges, kings, and prophets. And it seems like each one of those are failing in some way. But anyway, God grants them king, and as they inaugurate a new king, Saul, Samuel says goodbye to them. Not that he's leaving them, but he has a different role now. He's going to be the mediator to show and speak to the powers that be, the king at that time, if they step out of line with God's justice and morality. So our scripture today is speaking to that. And a little background on the scripture too is that the Israelites started to freak out that their need for a king was a sin against God and God was going to punish them. So what Samuel does is he shows them, he says, right now is you have a harvest coming up, so I'm going to ask God to send rain for your crops. So he does that. And people feared God after that because they knew God was there and God was in control, and now they screwed up. This is then what Samuel says. In verse 19, and all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil to ask for ourselves a king. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Samuel is reminding the people that they are still loved by God, that there isn't any sin that's going to keep them from God. Now, our own sins and our own ignorance or ignoring of God's justice that God calls for can destroy us and our communities. But God is not destroying us. Here's the problem. Here's the problem that the Israelites have and that we have. Is that we have made God out to be a boogeyman. God is this thing that is just waiting for us to mess up. God is scary. God is waiting to throw a lightning bolt at you when you say God's name in vain. Religion has done quite a number on this. We've created rules and guidelines that we have to live by within our church communities in order to be part of that church community. In order to be called a Christian, you have to do this and this and this. If you stray from it, then you lose that title. If you sin, the right sin, you are no longer welcome. Maybe there's places in your life where you feel like you're not safe with God. Maybe religion, maybe faith, maybe church has been something that was just taught to you as a kid and you just keep doing it without, it's like riding a bike. You just do it and you know how to do it without even thinking. And maybe you're doing it because you're afraid if you don't, there's some kind of divine punishment waiting for you in the end. We do this with all different things. We always want to punish people who are different from us. We want to punish people who think differently from us because we fear that they are bringing on sin that God will punish us for. This nation has a great history of that, especially in the last 200 years. We have created a culture where politics and Christianity are kind of enmeshed in some way. And so now we're always concerned about, for us as a nation, are we following God's way or not? And there is always two different sides to the coin and thought to that. So how do we even start? How do we even figure that out? For most of us, and why our nation, I think, is declining in Christianity, is that churches, Christianity, faith, have not been grace-filled places where people feel safe. To ask for forgiveness for their sins, to become the person Christ has created them to be. We have failed at that. We have failed at making this space a space where all people can come, be heard, and cared for. Not all people are going to agree with it. Not all people are going to fit in with a particular church or group. It's not going to be feeding to them, and that's okay. But as churches, we have often failed to love the stranger, love the outcast, love the oppressed, fight for justice for the oppressed. And people are noticing that we're all talk and no walk. So this has become a space. This physical sanctuary for some has become an unsafe place because they feel like God is out for them, just like the Israelites felt. But Samuel shows them a different way. But right now, Leslie is going to lead us into a prayer. Leslie's going to lead us into a prayer that helps us understand the so many different ways we are all failing right now, and to find comfort in God. That our sanctuaries that we create for ourselves may not be enough, but to realize that God is the ultimate sanctuary. 2020 has been a year. With the virus, politics, protests, unrest, it has felt like 2 years. We are all trying to make our way through this. We're all trying to figure stuff out. And this is the ultimate way, as Leslie's going to lead us, to understand that there are differences we have, but how can we come to one common place? So where do we go from here? The Israelites wanted a king. As we know, it didn't work out. They had prophets to tell them what God wanted of them. Oftentimes, they didn't listen. Judges came in, but judges ended up getting corrupt and not understanding the law of love. And so God sent Jesus to be in the place of judges, prophets, and king. Jesus was enacting a kingdom and a reality of God here and now that we can participate in, that we could be a part of, that it is countercultural, that it is different. And what is so radical about Jesus and God's message through Jesus is that ultimately God is king through Christ, and that there is nothing we can do to separate us from the love of God. There's no way to make God love you any more or any less. And that's the good news. That's the good news of Jesus and what he brings. So then, what does it mean to have sanctuary? As we're ending this week, sanctuary is a place where we feel safe and comforted, right? I think what Jesus does is it's no longer a physical place like the Israelites wanted a temple and then a kingdom to know that they were loved by God and God was present. All those things were signs of that. And we even still have this sanctuary to show a sign. This is where things happen. But what Jesus is doing is he's extending grace to humanity as we have screwed up time and time again. And he is showing that it doesn't matter that you screwed up. What only matters is how we move forward. And that is grace. That is given. We are not paying attention to the wrongs we have done. Those are now wiped away. It's how we move forward. It doesn't mean that we should ignore the things that happened in the past because there are still people hurt by it. There are ways that we can still ask for forgiveness and repent to turn away. We can't ignore our history because unless we change our pain, we transform it, we will transmit it, and it will keep happening time and time again. So this is what I want from you, church. This is what I see through Samuel, the fear, the unsafeness that we feel around God, that God is actually now extending grace. He's extended that to us, and we need to extend it to others. Grace is now sanctuary. It's not a physical place like this, but it's whenever the church is able to create a space of grace and love, even when people don't deserve it. Grace is giving something that is not earned. It's just given. That should be the Christian life. It should be all about grace. When we mess up, it should be all about grace. Grace helps us and opens our eyes to the ways that we have been part of systems that oppress people. Grace helps us to see the other as our neighbor. Grace helps us to see that we are not in control and God is. Grace shows us that leaders aren't always the solution to the problem, but rather it is in the people. Grace is the way to create sanctuary. It is the way to understand the kingdom of God that Jesus declared. It's all about grace. If you see all the interactions Jesus had, it's all about grace with people. It's always about grace. Even the people he disagreed with, he dealt with in a graceful manner. It's all about grace. I want to leave you with this quote. This quote is from Rachel Held Evans, and I've used it before, but it's a powerful quote for me, and it sticks with me all the time. Imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. Imagine if every church became a place where we told one another the truth. We might just create sanctuary. Sanctuary is a place where we aren't comfortable. Maybe some of you don't feel comfortable right now because we can't meet in person. That maybe this shtick of the digital age is growing old. Having worship online is growing old. And I hear you on that. Maybe you aren't comfortable with the discourse and how something even as small as a virus is dividing us. And something as big as racism is dividing us. Sanctuary is a place where we can actually come and talk about those things together. That we're not comfortable because we all know we have different opinions, but that it's a place where we can find common ground, that where it is safe to be that way. Because this is the place to enact that grace of God. That it doesn't matter if you have sinned. God is always there. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. That's how grace can become a sanctuary. Now, church, what I want you to do is go and extend that to others this week. May you find ways to be the church outside of the physical church walls, that you may be able to extend grace, create spaces of grace that people can learn of the love of Christ through you. Now, church, may you go. May you go love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And all God's people said, amen. May you go in peace, and as you go in peace, may you spread that peace to one another. Do the passing of the peace, whether it's a text message, the person you're with in person, or via email, to the people that you love. May the peace of Christ be with you this week. Amen. Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. And now, church, may you go and love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Go in peace.